Good morning, Colorado. You're listening to the Daily Sun Up with the Colorado Sun. It's Wednesday, May 24th. Today, Elliot Wensler talked with fellow political reporter Sandra Fish about the latest happenings with the Colorado Republican Party and the mayoral elections in Colorado Springs and Denver. Before we start, a quick message. Attention marketers, how do you make customers believe in your product? How do you achieve featured snippets or make the most of ChatGPT? The experts at Pinterest, HubSpot, Reddit, and more will be at Digital Summit Denver, June 27th to 28th, to give you the tools you need to transform your marketing. Register at digitalsummit.com/passes and use code CS250 for $250 off. Again, that's code CS250 for $250 off. Now, let's go back in time with some Colorado history. On this day in 1911, President Taft used the Antiquities Act to declare a vast tract of stone formations and canyons in Mesa County as the Colorado National Monument. John Otto gets most of the credit for making the monument happen. Some people considered the Missouri native an eccentric, while others viewed him as dangerous. Denver authorities arrested him at the state capitol in 1903 after he sent Governor Peabody a threatening letter. Upon his release, Otto worked as a laborer and built trails, lit bonfires to celebrate holidays, and lobbied civic and business leaders in Grand Junction to advocate for the site. The monument proved contentious. Some people wanted to honor a prominent person, but no one could agree on the honoree. A Grand Junction newspaper humorously proposed Smith National Monument Park to boost tourism. Quote, "The hills would be covered with Smiths from the four quarters of the globe." In the end, the innocuous Colorado National Monument won the honor. With the support of Congressman Taylor, Otto won appointment as the park's superintendent and worked to preserve the natural landscape while continuing to build trails. He also advocated wildlife protection and introduced a bison herd in the mid-1920s. After one too many clashes with local officials, Otto lost his position in 1927. Next, our feature story.
Welcome back to the podcast, Fish.
Hey, it's great to be back, Elliot. I'm sorry I abandoned you all for my vacation during the end of session.
Hey, that is okay. Vacation is necessary. And we're finally all starting to recover after the session ended, and we're getting back into normal non-session life. And the political news has not really stopped, though, even though the legislative session has ended. This week, Fish, you did a really interesting item for the Unaffiliated on what's been going on with the Republican Party. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
It is interesting. And I've been watching what's going to happen with the Republican Party, because their selection of Dave Williams, a former state representative who's been working full time as a legislative aide this year, it is kind of controversial. And the party is really split between people like Dave Williams, who are election deniers, think that Trump won in 2020, and people who want to move on. And I look every month at what both political parties, what kind of money they bring in, because they've got to report to the Federal Election Commission on the 20th of every month what their finances were the month before. And for the first time in at least 20 years, the Republican Party in Colorado did not pay any employees in April. No payroll whatsoever.
So what does that mean?
It's really unusual. Like, they've always, there have been months where they haven't had a ton of money come in. Like, they raised less than $15,000 in April. And the Democratic Party has had months where their income is not that great, but neither party has not had like paid staff. In many instances, the executive directors are paid unless they're wealthy or have a big income, another full-time job like Ken Buck did while he was serving in Congress in 2019 and 2020. He didn't take a salary. He had an executive director. Often they pay people who are fundraising, that sort of thing. You know, the Democratic Party is paying their executive director, their new chairman, rather, Shad Mareeb, and they're also paying their executive director and a few other people. But it's really rare for the party not to have actual paid employees, it's not a very good sign.
What is it a sign of? How are things going in their finances? What do we know about that?
Well, this is the other thing. It's like they said that they had $120,000 cash in the bank at the end of April. They also filed this note that basically said, well, the report says we have this much, but this doesn't match the amount in the bank. The amount in the bank is less than that. And we're investigating that. And so you've got to wonder what their finances are like. And they have had a fundraiser who worked as a consultant. They'd usually actually tag her payment as payroll too. And she's worked for them for quite a number of years, and she's not doing that anymore. So who is doing the fundraising? You know, one of the downsides here is that I can't get Dave Williams to return my calls or text messages or emails. So we'll see. I mean, they don't have a lot of money in the bank. They're not bringing in a lot of money. And that's got to be a concern for them.
Right. Because their donations are down as well, is my understanding.
Yes. That's just how you've got it. You know, I talked to Dick Wadhams, former party chair, and, you know, he's like, look, you got to prioritize raising money. You can't run an operation without that in the bank.
And they've got some other things going on, too. I mean, there was just a huge, maybe not surprising, but notable loss of their candidate in the Colorado Springs mayoral election. You, again, wrote a story about that this week, talking about what it means for the future of the party down there. What else are we seeing there?
That's the thing. Dave Williams, the new state party chair, is from Colorado Springs. And the party there is really divided. Like, they had this big tiff with the state Republican Party over the way they've acted in past elections and have gone to court. But Wayne Williams, the former Secretary of State, he's been a county commissioner. He's been the county clerk. He was on city council most recently, and he made the runoff for mayor, and he lost to Yemi Mobolati, who's like this newcomer to politics. He's lived in the Springs maybe 13 years. He came there to start a church. He's very religious, but he's a business person. He does stuff. He's on one of the chamber committees. He's like very active in the community. And he's also a totally new face. He's an unaffiliated voter. You know, Wayne tried to brand him as progressive or liberal and use some kind of crime things. And, you know, that didn't work. Yemi Mobolati won 57% of the vote, which is pretty overwhelming in a place like Colorado Springs. And I think you talked to him this week for the unaffiliated newsletter, which people really should be a premium Sun subscriber so they can get that newsletter, because it's got a lot of stuff in it. But, tell us what it was like to talk with him.
Yeah, it was really interesting to talk with him. I mean, he's done so many interviews at this point. So it was really about trying to kind of hear some new things about what it means for him to be the mayor. But, you know, I asked him, how do you feel about being painted as a progressive and having things like, you know, crime being associated with you, even though you are unaffiliated? And one of his primary things he talked about during his campaign was safety. And he pretty much said, yeah, I have my work cut out for me, thanks to a lot of the stuff that my opponent said, especially in the final weeks of the campaign. But he really wants to see himself as a bridge builder. He, you know, being unaffiliated, he wants to go above and beyond the partisan divides in the Springs and really focus on the city as a whole. You know, he is still difficult to nail down on, you know, what are his policies actually going to look like? Because eventually he is going to have to make some decisions that upset Republicans and decisions that upset maybe Democrats. We don't know who's going to be more upset more often, or maybe if it'll be half and half. That really remains to be seen. But for now, he's really kind of hammering in on, you know, I'm going to be a representative for everyone, and I am going to make everyone mad. That's something he said to me at one point. And so, yeah, I think there's still a lot to see on what that's going to look like.
And maybe everyone will be happy in some situations. You know, I'll hand this to Wayne Williams, who I've really, you know, was a great administrator as Secretary of State, I've got to say, and kind of nonpartisan in many ways. But he did have very kind things to say about Yemi, and he actually left his own election party that night and went over to congratulate Yemi. And he is wishing him the best. So, you know, at least there's that. We're moving on down the road.
That's always good to see rather than bitter disputes towards the end. So hopefully some optimism there. And Denver, of course, has its big mayor's race runoff coming around the bend. What's going on with that these days?
You know, it's kind of starting to get nasty a little bit. Several people have reported, including Denverite Colorado Public Radio, that Mike Johnson's campaign is complaining about a super PAC ad that basically calls him a liar over saying that he'd helped organize this COVID nonprofit, which he did help organize it. And, you know, that's the first sort of really negative thing I've seen come out to the public. You know, most of these ads are positive and the outside money continues to be pretty significant. I think the group Advancing Denver has spent $1.2 million supporting Mike Johnston. You're seeing TV ads. I've gotten a couple of mailers. The group A Better Denver is supporting Kelly Brook, the former chamber CEO, and they're not spending nearly as much, like maybe about $280,000 so far. I went to an event last night that was so much fun. It was called The Hot Seat, where it was sponsored by New Era Colorado and Cobalt and Color and a bunch of other groups. And it was just super fun. They had a drag performer dancing and performing for everyone. Kelly Brough gave her some dollar bills. And then they served the candidates hot wings. Like, what's the name of that show, Elliot?
Hot Ones is one of my favorite YouTube shows.
Exactly. And Bree Davies from CityCast Denver, who I love, asked the questions and they kept bringing out the wings. At one point, Kelly Brough said, "Oh shit, this is really hot." She'd been trying to avoid cussing, she said. And it's interesting because there's not a ton of policy difference between the two. And you're not going to, like you said, you don't know what the mayor is going to be like until they're in office. Both Colorado Springs and Denver are strong mayor situations where the mayor is really like the city administrator of the city. It's a full-time job. And, you know, the city of Denver has like 11,000 employees. But there were a few little differences last night. Kelly Brough chose blue cheese. Mike Johnston chose ranch. They both chose Chipotle over illegal Pete's, which got a lot of jeers from that young audience there. That was not considered a very cool move.
So some of the differences we're starting to see are maybe not so policy related and more preference related. So it'll be interesting to see how voters make their decisions.
I feel for these people because they are appearing with each other every day and being asked the same questions over and over again, you know, and those wings, some of those wings were clearly pretty hot. Mike Johnson said this was the first glass of milk he'd consumed since he thought he was 12, you know, and everybody there was asking for the nugget score during the game and they were trailing. But when I got home, hey, I hit up Fire on the Mountain for some chicken and blue cheese. And the Nuggets won. Yay, Elliot, this is such huge. This is the big, really big news of the week. It has nothing to do with politics, but we're all so happy.
Well, go Nuggets. And thank you, Fish, for being on today. Let's hope that continues on.
It's good to be back. Talk to you later, Elliot.
You can read more at coloradosun.com. Finally, here are a few stories that you should know about today. The runoff in the Colorado High Country is picking up speed, and with rainy weather and a big snowpack, high water is expected to last a while this spring and summer. High water has caused a section of State Highway near Paonia to wash out, and transportation officials are watching for rockfalls and mudslides. National Forest officials announced Tuesday the Hanging Lake Trail in Glenwood Canyon is closed again because of high water along the popular trail. The heavy snowpack across the entire western portion of the state is causing creeks to run higher than usual for this time of year. Colorado is in violation of state and federal law by failing to monitor water quality from large operations raising hogs, poultry, and cattle. there are more than 100 facilities that have been approved for general operating permits by the State Health Department's Water Quality Control Division. A state administrative law judge ruled recently that the Federal Clean Water Act calls for more diligent monitoring of water discharges to prove the state permits are working. State officials said they will appeal. The Colorado Livestock Association says the state's general permit standards are much tougher than most states. The newly elected chair of the Colorado Republican Party is mum on whether the state's GOP has employees or is just using volunteers. April was the first time in at least 20 years that the party hasn't paid anyone. The lack of a payroll for a state party in Colorado is unusual, and new chair Dave Williams has not responded to questions about the status of the state staff. Questions about the party's finances point to rocky beginnings for Williams, an election-denying former El Paso County lawmaker who won control of a divided state GOP in March. For more information on all of these stories, visit our website, coloradosun.com, and don't forget to tune in again next time. The Colorado Sun is nonpartisan and completely independent. We're always dedicated to telling the in-depth stories we need today more than ever. And the Sun is supported by readers and listeners like you. Right now, you can head to coloradosun.com and become a member, starting at $5 per month for a basic membership, and if you bump it up to $20 per month, you'll get access to our exclusive politics and outdoors newsletters. Thanks for starting your morning with us, and don't forget to tune in again tomorrow.